In the early days of the church, to become a Christian meant to suffer persecution and death. The early martyrs prayed for their persecutors. They asked for them to be forgiven. But in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, verses 9 through 11, we see the martyred tribulation saints praying for vengeance. Why? This is a different dispensation. During the age of grace, Stephen, when stoned, didn't pray for vengeance. He prayed for the forgiveness of his murderers. So did the Lord Jesus. But these saints will be living in the dispensation of judgment. What's the ruling principle of that period? Judgment. What do they cry for? Judgment. Where are these souls? Under the altar. The altar was a place of sacrifice. In Romans 12:1, we're exhorted to offer our lives a living sacrifice on the altar of God. In 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul said he was ready to be offered. The word offered is a technical term for sacrifice. As he thought of his martyrdom, he looked upon it as a sacrifice to God on the altar of heaven. Now, the sixth seal. This is seen in Revelation 6, 12 to 17. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and to the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The breaking of the sixth seal results in a worldwide catastrophe. It's not the final judgment, nor is it the end of the world. Some say this isn't a literal earthquake, but the destruction of the political, social, and ecclesiastical order. The breaking down of all authority. In the Bible, the sun is spoken of as the ruler of the day, the moon and the stars as the ruler of the night. In this, they say, they see the fall of the central authority, and then the collapse of the state and local authority. Lawlessness, which has been held in by the Spirit and the saved, will be permitted to break forth. What a revolution with no authority at all! But others see this as a literal earthquake, literal disturbances in nature. Earthquakes have occurred in the past when God acted in judgment. Mount Sinai quaked when God descended upon it in fire, and there was an earthquake when Christ died for our sins. And didn't the first earthquake come as a result of man's sin? The more sinful man becomes, the more disturbances there will be in nature. This will be the climax of it all. What is the result of this catastrophe? The people are gripped with terror. Why? They're helpless before the wrath of the Lamb. Then what will they do? Will they pray? Yes, they will pray to God. Oh no, they'll pray to the rocks. Not to the rock of ages, but to the rocks of the ages. As their sufferings increase, their sins increase. As their horrors become harder, their hearts become harder. So they pray to the rocks. There is a rock to which we can go for refuge. That rock is a person, the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. In him there's salvation and security. Without him, there's no safety. There's no security. There's nothing but destruction here and doom hereafter. When a person says no to the Spirit of God, something happens to him. His heart becomes harder. Satan becomes stronger. Because he refuses to believe, the day will come when he cannot believe. So they pray to the rocks for destruction and death. The question is, who shall be able to stand? The answer is obvious. Only those who avail themselves of the grace of God, even though they suffer a martyr's death. Many years ago, when they traveled to California in the covered wagons and the wagon trains, one wagon train came to the great river. The people drank and refreshed themselves and their stock, and they moved on. They went about a day's journey from the river when they saw a thin red line. Somebody shouted, "The prairie's on fire! We shall all be burned to death!" "Oh no," said the wagon master, "clear a space." They cleared a space. "Now," he said, "set fire to the grass behind you." They did. "Now," he ordered, "stand where the fire has been." And there they stood. As the flames came roaring by, one cried, "Oh, we shall be burned to death." "No," he said, "we won't burn. We're standing where the fire has been." The fire of God's judgment fell upon Christ at Calvary. Either take your place at the foot of the cross where the fire has been, or you'll take your place in judgment. It's your move. Where will you go? God help you to turn to Christ now, right now. You will in repentance, won't you? And put your trust in Jesus who died for you, asking him to come into your heart and to save you.